children quietly, please. For the rest of us, hold your Bibles up in the air. Or in the devil's face. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is.
And my Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Jesus' name,
amen.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the provider of everything that we need, including instruction on how to live. You have given us your divine GPS. Father God, now I ask, Lord, that you would impart into those who are hearing this morning what you would have them to hear. And Lord, I thank you for the authority you've given me in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devourer who would try to steal the word from the hearts of God's people. And Father, I thank you for being so. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God. God is doing some wonderful things, isn't he? I mean, Sister Elise got a job where everybody who was qualified and spoke good English could get the job, and our sister who speaks her number one language is French, and she got the job. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Man, you should never allow yourself to be caught up by any type of obstacle, to be caught up by any type of impediment. You should be just believing God. You and God make the majority. Praise God. Hey, amen. I am so proud of our dear sister Elise. I'm proud of all of you. I thank God for you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Today I'm going to talk to you just a little bit on about worshiping God, or why you should want to worship God. Some of the information is coming from my book, How to Worship God. Some of the information I'm going to be speaking today is not in the book. You know, the frustrating thing about me is when I write a book and I publish the book and everything, then the Lord gives me more insight on the subject, and I'm like, man, I wanted to put that in the book. So, you know, then you got to revise the book, and you know, and all the people who already bought copies of it, you're like, man, I sure hope they don't mind buying a second copy of it and get the rest of the stuff that God has given me. I don't know why God does that to you, but I think he has a sense of humor. He just likes to mess with me sometimes. I'm serious. God is playful sometimes like that. Praise God. He's a loving and kind God, just like those of us who have children. We like to play with our kids. God likes to play with you too. Praise God. He loves you. See, y'all need to have a relationship with him. I mean a real relationship with him. Praise God. Not an irreverent relationship, but a real father-child relationship. Praise God. Amen. I have a relationship with my children. They're not irreverent towards me. They don't disrespect me, but we do play and we have fun. Praise God. And we tease each other all the time. All right. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want you to understand very briefly why you should want to worship God. Why you should not want to worship any other deity. Why you should want God to be first place in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with open face..." Can somebody close that back door, please? Thank you, Reuben. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." I want you to see that as you are beholding God, you begin to change. Praise God. Worship brings a change in your life. See, worship will bring a change in your life, and a change depends upon what or who you are worshiping. I want you to get that. The change that comes into your life depends on what or who you are worshiping. I told you some months ago about a book that I read where a man was talking, he was talking about a form of Hinduism that has a temple where they worship rats. They have a big statue dedicated to the rat. They allow rats to run throughout the whole temple. I don't know about you, I grew up around rats. I find them quite disgusting. How about you? I mean, I've killed a few rats in my life. Real rats, not humans. But rats are disgusting to me. Yet there is a group of people that actually desire to worship them. And when they go into the temple, they worship rats. And if rats come and bite them, they think that's a wonderful privilege that they just received of their god rat. Yes, and they believe in reincarnation, and they pray that when they are reincarnated, that they become a rat. So you become exactly like the very thing that you worship. So when you, it's the same with God. As you are beholding God, you are changed from glory to glory. If you worship the true God, you become more like that true God. Praise God. Worshiping God is not just about singing songs, though that's part of it, as you would find if you read my book. Worshiping God is not just about getting up in church and dancing and coming here on Sunday. Worshiping God, it should be a part of your everyday life, part of your devotional life. You should get up in the morning praying, worshiping Him, let Him know you love Him. But you should also try to get to know Him and to understand Him. Praise God.
Amen.
The only way you can do that is by fellowshipping with Him through prayer and reading this book. As Pastor Christick said earlier today, this book is the GPS for your life. It gives you direction. I love that, man. You only get credit for it one time. After that, I use it as though it was mine. We only give people credit once. All right. For the original source. Praise God. But this is the GPS for your life. It will direct you. It will guide you. It will help you to understand your Savior, your Lord, your God. Praise God.
Amen.
See, some people worship, some Christians worship a God that is mean, stern, harsh, ready to bash you every time you sin. Now, listen to me. We are extremely against sin here. Praise God.
Amen.
We are a holiness church, but we are also a loving church. We all mess up, don't we? The Bible says we all stumble in word and deed. So before we go and judging each other and beating each other up, we better start looking at ourselves first. The Bible says that when we judge not, lest ye be judged. Then it talks about the fact that before I pull the little splinter out of my brother's eye, I need to pull that big, big mote out of my own. Mm-hmm. So before I start, before I come to you and tell you about your faults and your downfalls and stuff like that, I have to be very careful and do a very good inventory of myself. And then after that, when I still feel that I need to talk to you, I need to do it with meekness, humility, and love. Praise God. Amen. The kind of God we have, even though He's perfect, He doesn't come in trying to destroy you. Our God is a restoring God. Say,
our God
is a restoring God. Man, I need to change the lyrics on that song. Our God is an awesome God. I change it to, our God is a restoring God. Praise God. He restores. He loves you. Say, God is love. First John chapter 3 tells us that God is love. See, when I worship God and I get to know my God and I get to know His characteristics, I get to know His attributes, then I start shaping my life to become like Him. See, since my God is love, then I need to start walking in love. Praise God. Since my God is a forgiving God, then I need to forgive. Praise God. And remember, like I told you last week, God, loving and forgiving does not mean mushy-mushy, oh, I love you, and just letting you do what you want. Because God also says he chastens those whom he loves. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he doesn't want you going to hell, so he will chasten you when you mess up. Our God is a giving God. He's an unselfish God. He's a caring, kind, and wonderful God. So as I begin to worship him, my characteristics begin to change. I become a new person. I become a different person. See, look at that. Look at those people who don't worship God. Some of you get mad at people who are out there in the world. You say, you shouldn't be cussing around me. What else are they going to do? They're in the world. They don't worship the true and living God. They have no basis upon which they can change. Praise God.
Amen.
They need the new birth, first of all. And then once they get the new birth, then you need to disciple them and show them how to worship him so that they can change into his likeness. They can behold his face. They can go from glory to glory to glory. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to learn how to worship our God. But see, you look at those people out in the world who worship money. What are they caught up in? Houses and cars. And those are things nice to have. Praise God.
Amen.
Do not deny me a house or a car. I need them. I need some shelter over my head. I need a place to live. I need some transportation. Praise God. But I'm not caught up in those things. I'm caught up in the living God. And people, when they worship things, they become greedy and selfish and covetous. They take on the characteristic of the thing that they worship. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans. Right after the book of Acts. Right before the book of 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 1, begin at verse 22. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God. See, notice 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us that as we behold him face to face, we are changed from glory to glory. Praise God. But see, those who don't behold him and they behold something else, then they change the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Mm-hmm. See, you know why Satan likes to set that up like that? You know, these people who worship rats and roaches and stuff like that? Because that's exactly what he thinks of God. And so he wants to lead people to worship these types of things because he wants you to say, see, God is a roach. That's an insult, praise God. If you were to pull up a picture of some ugly beast, I'm trying to think of a real ugly beast type of animal. Whatever kind of animal it is, some really ugly, ugly animal, and you was to pull up a picture of that and say, that's you, Troy. Don't you think I'd be insulted? I mean, you pull up this ugly, ugly thing and say, Troy, that's you. I like you, Troy. This is a nice picture of you. That's an insult to me. Well, what do you think it is when you worship some roach or some cockroach or, you know, like the Egyptians, they worship snakes and they worship the Nile River and they said, this is God. That's God. These frogs are God. How many of y'all have read the book of Exodus? Maybe you better not raise your hand, so we may not know who's, so we don't need to know whether you're reading your Bible or not. All right, how about this? How many of y'all have watched the Ten Commandments? How many of you watched the Ten Commandments? How many of you watched the cartoon, The Prince of Egypt? All right. Did y'all remember the part where God brought the judgment on the Egyptians by sending a multitude of frogs and by making the Nile River into a bloody mess and things like that? Do y'all remember those parts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was God's judgment, not just on Egypt, but upon the gods that they worship. Everything that God judged, the frogs and the snakes, you know, when the snake ate up, the serpent from Moses' rod ate up the serpents, the other serpents, that was God showing that I'm stronger than you. I'm better than your gods. That was his judgment upon those gods. See, God is not happy with us trying to make him into a creature. Not because he has some great ego that needs to be appeased, but because he knows that every time you worship something lower than him, then you are debasing yourself. You are putting yourself down. You are making yourself lower and lower when he has created you to rise higher and higher by worshiping him. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to learn to worship God. Let's read on. In verse 24 it says, wherefore God, I want you to see how God's wrath and how God's judgment takes place. Wherefore God also gave them up. Say gave them up. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Because why? Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And verse 26 goes on to say, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. You read on down, it talks about the judgment that God gives upon homosexuality. When God judges, one of the ways he judges is by allowing you to just go ahead and into your sin. Before he tries to restrain you, he tries to stop you. But see, God has given you a free will. He will stop you for so long. You know, I think the Wesleyans or the Arminians called it prevenient grace. In other words, God's restraining grace. He tries to restrain people from going further than they normally would go if he wasn't restraining them. God tries to restrain people. He tries to protect them, tries to keep them from going too far under. But then when you get to the point where you say, God, leave me alone. I want to worship what I want to worship, and I'm not worshiping you. God finally has to say, all right. I've tried it. I've tried to help you, but you just continue to let me push me away. In Luke chapter 7, verse 30, the Bible says that he had a plan for the Pharisees and Sadducees, but they rejected that plan. And so God had no other choice but to say, okay, I'll let you go to your own thing. That's what hell is all about. It's not that God wants people to go to hell. But he has made every provision to keep people out of hell. Praise God.
Amen.
You heard on the radio program, Pastor Christick mentioned the fact that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he's not going to force you. Only universalism teaches a God who forces people to be saved. He forces everybody to be saved in the end. This is not the way our God is. If you go to hell, it's because of your own fault. It's because you have decided to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Praise Jesus. And the thing is, if you're not worshiping the true and living God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you're worshiping something else. You're worshiping a substitute that Satan has set up, whether it's an idol, whether it's money, whether it's your family, your job. Yes, anything that comes before God is actually worshiping that thing. Whenever we sin, we're worshiping something other than God. Did you know that? When I go out and do my own thing, I'm actually worshiping. When I'm at the club shaking my behind, I'm worshiping. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, shaking your booty is worshiping. It's worshiping the devil. That's what you're doing. You may not have known that. You know it now. So if you worship anything other than God, he's going to try to speak to you. He's going to try to talk to you. But after a while, he's going to say, okay, you keep pushing me away. There's nothing else I can do. It's not that God doesn't want to help you, but you are the one who keeps saying, leave me alone. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hosea chapter 11, God starts crying to Israel. He says, how can I give you up? How can I give you up? But they kept pushing God away. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus cries. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have wanted to gather all of you as a hen gathers his chicks, but you would not let me." They wouldn't let him. Jesus had to give him up. Not because he wanted to. See, some of us, we won't go as far as God does. You know, one of the things I love about Pastor Chris, he just won't give up on people, man. Oh my God, some people I'm just like, you know, leave them alone. They just, you know, but he wants to go out and just rescue everybody. I thank God because he had a heart like God, praise God. Amen. And so we go out, we try to rescue people because God doesn't give up on people that easily. So when God gives you up, man, you have been given up. Do you hear me? You have really put, when you can push God to the limit like that, you really got some problems. That means there's just no hope for you. Let's look at one more scripture, then I'm going to invite these two great men of God to give us some 5-minute dissertations of peace. Glory to God. And then we'll have Elder Steve take up our offering and Pastor Chris to close us out. Let's look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
If you're not, I'm preaching myself good. All right. Psalm 135. Let's begin at verse 15. It says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have not mouths, but they speak not." They have mouths, but they speak not. "Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them." "So is everyone that trusteth in them." Basically, the God you worship is the thing that you become. The Bible says that you are like unto your idol. Anything that you trust, that is what you are like. We can tell by your characteristics whether you worship God or whether you worship someone or something other than God. Or if you claim to worship God, we can tell whether you are actually worshiping the God that is explained to us in our divine GPS, or if you are worshiping some other version of God, some distorted version of God that you cannot find by a clear teaching of the scriptures. Praise Jesus. Amen. So we want to know why we need to worship God. And that's one of the number one reasons why, is because God in his unselfishness knows that he's the highest in all of the universe. And because he loves you and he cares about you, he wants you to worship him so that you can come up higher and higher with him. Praise God. He knows for you to worship anything other than him is to bring yourself lower and lower and lower. That's why I love God. You know, I used to have trouble with this because I wondered what, you know, it's not something I would have ever spoken out loud. But you know, some of y'all be having doubts and questions and stuff like that. You know that if you ask these questions, you'll be rendered a heretic or something like that. But you have these questions. And sometimes I had these questions. Why does God seem to need worship? Why is he always making us praise him? Has he got an ego problem? You know, I would never have spoken that out loud, but sometimes that was in the back of my mind. You know, God knows your thoughts from far off, praise God. Even if you don't speak them, God knows them. And instead of God rebuking me and saying, "How dare you think of me that way?" Instead, he gave me revelation and showed me that's not the reason. It's not because of my ego. It's because I'm caught up in you. Because I love you. And I want you to worship me. I want you to come up higher. As you worship me, you become higher and better. You are changed from glory to glory. That sin that is besetting you, son, when you worship me, you will be released from that sin. You will be set free. That thing that is binding you, I'll be able to set you free as you worship me. That thing that you need in your life, as you worship me, you are opening channels by which I can bring that thing to you. That material need, that spiritual need, that physical need you have in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
God will do that for you, and he's able to do it for you because you are worshiping him. Now, if you're going to worship something else, you're saying, I'm dependent on that thing to give me what I need. And God ain't going to be able to do it for you. My children, if they were to go to any other source besides home, nothing I can do for them, praise God. Now, when they finally return to me, I can say, okay, I forgive you. Let's take care of the situation. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to invite Evangelist White to come on up and just give us a word from the Lord, that share his heart for 5 minutes, and then Pastor Coleman, and then we'll get ready to close out with Elder Steve and Pastor Kristen. Come on up, Evangelist. Give God a hand praise for the man of God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm blessed this morning for the word of God. I'm very, very touched in this community that God was established here. I don't have a special message from the ministry, but I just want to share something with you today, that you have to hold on to Jesus Christ, because there are other people today that have died premature death, but you and myself still living. That alone is a testimony. There are other people in the hospital today, they are still gasping for breath, looking for the life that you and myself living. We are enduring. We are going on the beach and doing everything, working two jobs and things like that, making ourselves comfortable. But some of them living on life support. But today, we are living. We are enjoying the particular strength that they are gathering to receive. That alone is a testimony for us.
Amen.
2 years ago, God spoke to me to go back home. That way I'm starting my job. The way I'm doing everything, I start the work in Liberia presently. There's a ministry that I built there, Word of Faith International Ministry. It's on the roof level now. Last 2 weeks I was in Europe spreading the word of God there, and I'm going back there in November.
Amen.
3 months ago I was in Arkansas with Reverend Johnny, or rather here myself, tour in Arkansas, where the church is there trying to help Liberian mission work.
Amen.
I had 2 stores donated 3 weeks ago. We close to be taken to Liberia. I had 3,400 books to be donated to the ministry because I'm building school and church in Liberia. This is what I'm doing. I'm not resting because it's a vision that God gave me. I'm slave under God, and I better to be slave under God than to be slave under devil.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you are slave under God, then you have the internal life.
Yeah.
That I'm what I'm working for. So that just want you to pray with me. I'm all over. I work 2 jobs just to support the ministry. And I'm also asking God for God to touch other people who are willing to work and support ministries, so that we all can work in Liberia and to the uttermost part of the earth. Because the Bible says we should go into the world and preach his gospel. But we should start from where? Jerusalem. And God has sent me back to my Jerusalem to start there, and then before I can go to Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. And my Jerusalem is my homeland. I've been here 9 years now, but I've been crying every day to go back home when the war is over. And God has opened my way to go back home. I just want you to pray with me, to work with me. I do not have the ministry as a local church. I do not have a local church in the country. I work with other churches as a missionary, learning to empower men. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what I have to share with you this morning.
Amen.
Glory
to God. Amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Amen.
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 See, everything that is done in this life, only those things that are done for God will last.
Amen.
Amen. So thank God for the brother. Amen. Now for me, I just want to admonish you quickly on something. What if I told you that you can't fail in life? Somebody told you, no matter what happened, you can never ever fail. That's the situation with Christians. There's no way you can fail. So this afternoon, I just want to admonish you on worry. Because most of us get a tendency to worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every little thing you get worried. Mm-hmm. Over 6 different places in the New Testament, the Bible tells us not to worry. John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Matthew 6:25-33, he said, "Don't worry. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about shelter whatsoever."
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A lot of places go in Philippians 4. Say, "Don't worry." The book of Peter said, "Don't worry." Let me tell you a story quickly. I have a man of God. He was preaching, and then this guy came to him and said, "Oh, man of God, I got a problem." He said, "I want you to join me to pray to God so that God will take some of my worries away." And I said, "No, God wants you to cast everything."
That's right.
He said, "No, I mean, I want to keep at least a little bit. I'm just pray that God will take some." And you know, no, but that's not God's intention. He said, "Cast all your cares upon me, for I cared for you."
Yeah.
Now, in Matthew, quickly, I just want to tell you, and then close, okay? In Matthew, when Jesus was talking about worry, he said something. He said, "Do not worry." Two statements are gathered from that thing. The first thing, when Jesus said, "Don't worry," whenever Jesus speaks, he does not give suggestion; he gave commandments. Whenever you listen to the word of God, when God said, "Do this," he's not asking your suggestion.
That's
he's
right.
giving you command.
Good work, brother.
Now, you got to understand that, you know, the queen in Great Britain, when she speaks, it's law, right?
Yes,
now, so imagine Jesus being a King of Kings and Lord of all laws. He's a king over Queen Elizabeth. When he speaks, it's law. So when he says "do not," it's the same as "thou shall not." So the first reason why you should not worry is because worry is sin.
Yes.
Worry never solves any problem. By the matter of fact, if you want to turn your hair gray quick, take worries. I tell you, it can tell. And if you look at the stats, there are a lot of diseases that are associated with worries.
Yes.
And some people are just champion when it comes to worry. They can put their hand like this. They just worry. And the thing, I've never seen worry does not solve problem.
That's right.
Amen. Nope. Now the next thing, when Jesus said "don't worry," the next thing I gather from that scripture, it means that you have the power. You have the power. You have the power. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." So it means that you can decide to let your heart be troubled, or you can decide not to let your heart be troubled. So you can look at problems, you can look at demons, you can look at devil and tell them, "Come what may, I refuse to worry in Jesus' name."
Amen.
I mean, so this is just my little advice. Let's keep on holding to God. With God, all things are possible. Not some things. When you hear the word nothing is excluded. Everything is included. Amen.
Yeah.
So, young women, I got some people in my church right now. You young, you believe in God to get married, don't worry. But first thing, seek God's kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I know that next thing will ask me, "Okay, Pastor Kumo, all the fun things you said, if I shouldn't worry, what should I do?" Instead of worrying, seek God's kingdom first.
Yeah.
Instead of worrying, seek the righteousness of God first. Next thing, when you pull the things of God first, God will seek after those things that you want. But the thing is that most of us, we're not getting what we want because instead of we are trusting God, we want to use God like a clinic or a spare tire.
Mm.
You know a spare tire on your car, you don't put it there. When you put it there? You got the word. Most people want, the reason we don't receive from God is because most of us want to use God in emergency situation. Even this great country, they say, you don't pray in school. I had to call it separation of church and state.
Mm.
We got it, right?
Yeah.
You remember, that's not something good that happened to us, all right? But after 9/11, I noticed something. They were praying everywhere.
Yep, it sure was.
I got a newspaper to prove that. They were praying in the school. Nobody said nothing. National people, they were praying on the buses. Nobody said nothing. Why? Because by then we needed God. After 3 months, when things start to stabilize a little bit, people say, "You can't pray here, you know. You can't pray here." But I just want to tell you, don't worry. Be happy. Trust God. God will bless you in Jesus' name.
Hi. Thanks, Thomas. Don't you have a book that you've written?
Yeah, I have a book, but I didn't bring a copy. You have a copy of the book. I wrote a book.
It's my copy. I'm not giving away.
Yeah, all right. Amen. Okay, let me just tell something. I want to also be grateful to God for Reverend Troy. Amen. I'm from Liberia. God gave me this vision almost like the man of God to read books. When I read two other books, you know, the word may say simultaneously together. So he gave me a tough time. But I want to be grown up, Pastor Troy, because he really, you see, there are some people who just want to gain from you, and there are other people who want to invest in you. This man was one pastor around here who was willing to even help me. Because no matter what we do, we don't know everything. So God gave me a vision to write this book, and I wrote this book called Living by Bread Alone. Yes. And the way you're saying, I mean, the reason I wrote that book was just as the brother said. I came from Liberia, and before coming from Liberia, I noticed that a lot of people were on fire for the things of God. My brother bent me up, and we were all in a display camp. People were there fasting. People there fasting and praying. God, just take me to America. I will serve you till I die. God, take me to America. You know what I mean? And these same people, God brought them over here. As soon as we got to JFK, they said, welcome to the United States. And some, we took the Bible, we put the Bible inside. So that how God led me to read that book, that lifting men cannot live by physical bread alone. And by bread, it means your job, your money, whatsoever you think about. It takes God. There are people who get all the riches in the world, they still miserable. Mm-hmm. Just about some 4 months when the recession was tough, I heard on news about this guy. The man had about $2.5 million in the bank. He committed suicide because he was poor. That gave me the half. The man had $2.5 million. $2.5 million. He said you are poor, so he killed himself. He gave me the $0.5 million. Amen. But anyway, as a man of God saying, he helped me to read that book, and the book is available. It's called Living by Bread Alone. I promise you, maybe the next time I come over here, I'm going to bring some copy. Amen. I got a few copies, and also pray, help me in prayer, join me in prayer, that God bless me and send people, and I also talking to the man of God, that this time again, you have some mercy to do some proof reading, because I mean, to be frank, let me tell you another thing, quickly as I close, most times, you see, we don't know the value for certain things, Jesus, right in the midst of people, with that kind of heavy value, some people don't even know the value. This man is a valuable man of God, amen, I've seen it, and I really respect and trust him. And so that while every time I try to come around, okay, I try to call in all that thing, and also my brother. So I just want to tell you people that you got really good in this place. Amen. I've gone to other churches. You got two dynamite and preaching the real word of God. Amen. Which is what you got to really thank God for. There are churches today, you go, people just, they just explain anything to you. They tell you psychology. And you can live any kind of way. But thank God you will not be that way. He must have just seen similar thing yesterday. Sin is sin.
That's right.
Sin is sin. He said it. I'm taking all your time. But sin is sin. You want God's blessing, be far from that thing they call sin. The last thing I'll tell you, my church, if you want to live in sin, Father, let me tell you anything as I close. It's better to just live in the world and enjoy good than go to hell. Rather than to be jumping, be fooling yourself. You got one foot in the church. Christian, you got all the Bible. You can read. You put the Bible in. All Sunday you find. All Saturday night you worship the devil. Sunday night you worship God. God will not take it away. You got to be 100% for God or 0% for God.
Amen.
You got to be all for God or nothing for God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Son to take our offering. Open your wallet, open your wallet. All the missionaries have to go and preach the word of God somewhere.
Yes.
We need to contribute towards the word of God. We should not be recipients every day. We come, we get something, we ask people to help us, but we can't give that. The word of God will only go if we can support it. So open your purses and your wallet.
Open up!
Hey, awesome. Don't leave anything undone. When God visits us, we need to transfer them to bad gas.
Yes,
be right. Able to do something today.
Yes.
Praise and worship, let's go. Sing beautiful songs so the poor can be happy again. Let's go. Starting from right here.
I love you from my heart.